And we leave the lonely village because the time is 6 a.m.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us, and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 MHz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4, CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Winnipeg, Manitoba, on occupied Anishinaabe Aking, the homeland of the Métis and the historical territory of the Nahiyawak and the Nakota.
Good morning, friends. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We are here. We are the Saturday morning show here for you for the next 2 hours, 6 until 8. And then it's Green Planet Monitor, and following that at 9, Mud Puddle Radio for children of all ages. This half hour, Carol on the roof. Lovely day for it, Carol. You'll be fine.
No,
exactly. Looking. Is that an ancient radio wave I see before me? Well, we'll see. As well, we've got a little something we have sports for you as well. Want to mention the Igniter this week.
Yes.
One of our friends is in, mentioned particular, yes. And music. Well, we'll get Carol to look up the weather for us, because it should be there shortly, if not now.
Well, I've been looking up the weather. And they updated the weather at around 5:43, which is unusual for them. Here it is.
All right.
Yep, 6 o'clock weather. Minus 13 out there. Barometric pressure, 100.5 and falling. Humidity, 82%. Wind coming from the southeast at 19, giving you a wind chill of minus 21. It's going to be cloudy today, Ron. Snow beginning early this morning, but you're only getting about 2 centimeters.
Boo-boo.
That's less than an inch. Wind coming from the southeast at 20, and then light this morning. High today of minus 10. Wind chill minus 21 this morning and minus 15 this afternoon.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
I was going to say Scrooge light cloudy. It meant snow and it was cheap. Something of that nature. Mm. 6:04. Looking at the sports.
Yes.
Hockey in the NHL. The Winnipeg Jets played the LA Kings last night.
Uh-oh.
Nope. Snow goat. The Kings smothered them, and we were down a goal almost immediately. Fortunately, it was waved off because of being offside, but they came right back, scored. It was 1-0 through the first two periods. We didn't look sharp, boys, and we took 3 penalties. I guess they managed to tie it up in the third period. And then since you in your nightshirt and my in my winter cap had just settled in for a long winter's nap.
Yep.
I thought I'll turn the radio on, and we caught the overtime. Didn't last long. We had 2 shots on there, goalie, and bingo. We lost in overtime, 2-1, a shootout.
Yeah, it was funny. You turned on the radio. It was perfectly timed.
Right there. Mr. Comrie in goal for us, which means tonight, Colorado Avalanche come to town for 6 o'clock tonight with Mr. Hellebuck back in goal. He of 300 wins. He of on his way to another Vezina Trophy, I would say. In the American Hockey League, the Manitoba Moose played the Grand Rapids Griffins last night. This is a nice change. Moose won 3-2. This has not been a great season for them. Same again Saturday at 6. The Professional Women's Hockey League, Saturday at 1 o'clock today, Boston plays Ottawa. Belfast Giants took on the Nottingham Panthers last night. The Giants won 2-0 as part of their 25th anniversary home game series. It's nice when you win at home. I don't know why the Jets suddenly gone cold at home. Looking at the Winnipeg Free Press earlier this week, See the Bombers have re-signed veteran right guard Pat Neufeld.
Oh, good.
One-year extension. And yes, he'd been with them. This is 11th season with the Blue Bombers.
And he's a Canadian, right?
I believe so.
He's from either Saskatchewan or
yes,
the Maritimes.
I think so. Dave's with Saskatchewan, yeah. He says. Originally drafted by the Rough Riders. There you go. And this from today's Winnipeg Free Press sports page. The Bombers have re-signed Jamal Parker, building its roster for next year. One-year deal. He was scheduled to be a free agent, so get him now before they go searching. Mm-hmm. I see Ontario Wilson has gone off to the NFL for a tryout. But, of course, Bombers still hold his rights if he comes back to the CFL. Okay. Meanwhile, elsewhere, the Ottawa Redblacks have signed running back William Stanback, who is their big man, to a one-year deal on Friday, and re-signed defensive lineman Lorenzo Mauldin IV to a one-year extension. Montreal, the Alouettes, signed kicker David Cote to a one-year deal. Made 10 of 12 field goals last year, limited to 4 games due to injuries. And with somebody else.
Yes.
But it was in a paper a couple of days back, I guess. Anyways, something to look forward to, boys. CFL.
Okay.
Grey Cup in Winnipeg, am I right?
Yes.
You're not wrong there, Ron. That's right. Coming this year, 6:06. So we turn to that's Dean Martin is what it is from your Easy Listening Hit Parade, 40s and 50s. Composer Harry Warren was of Italian descent. The family name originally Guarana. Started his career playing the accordion. Musical roots, really Tin Pan Alley. Such hits to his credit as You're My Everything, You Can't Take That Away From Me, Chattanooga Choo Choo. Asked to write music for film. So while he was in Hollywood working on The Caddy, that was probably Martin Lewis, yes. Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin, 1953. Director told me he needed an Italian song for Dean Martin to sing in a scene at an Italian family celebration. Wanted to use an old Neapolitan favorite. All right. Shall we do that then?
Sure.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitarandella. When the stars make you drool, just like a pastifazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a clod at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore. That's amore.
Bells will ring,
ding-a-ling-a-ling,
ding-a-ling-a-ling,
and you'll sing the
Montemore.
Montemore.
When you dance down the street with the cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
Amore, that's amore.
Apparently that's amore. According to Dean Martin, according to Harry Warren.
Yes.
So he said, well,
the lyricist was Brooks, I think.
There you go. Well, I'm just thinking, Warren thought, why couldn't he write an Italian song? He'd never written in that style. He came up with something that was more than incredible. Able to convince the director to use his new song, that's Amore, nominated for an Academy Award, sold more than 4 million copies.
Whew.
That's Amore, I'll tell you. Wow. That's a lot of pizza at 6:11. 6:11, time then for a quote from, I always have a quotation for everything, it saves original thinking, Dorothy Sayers. Speaking of Amore, Carol, who said this? I married beneath me. All women do.
Hmm. That sounds sort of like Dorothy, doesn't it? Hmm. I don't know.
Nancy Astor.
Oh, of course, yes, of course.
And the other page. Any man who is under 30 and is not a liberal has no heart. And any man who is over 30 and is not a conservative has no brains. Now, I could have read this in appropriate style here. Yep. Any man who's not under 30, that's not going to work either, is not conservative, has no brains. Who said that? He was British. He moved back and forth from party to party.
Well, yes.
Yes?
I know who it is. At first, though, you sounded like you were doing your John Diefenbaker.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm hoping to hear from Mr. Diefenbaker later.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going with Churchill.
Right, you are.
Yes.
Okay. I am about to be married. One last quote. And, of course, in all the misery of man in pursuit of happiness. I am about to be married. And am, of course, in all the misery of man in pursuit of happiness. Lord Byron. At 6:12.
Yes.
On this day, 1914, Ambrose Bierce, the satirist, Devil's Dictionary, died at the age of 70. Well, I don't know that, of course. He simply disappeared in Mexico, looking for Pancho Villa. We'll have to dig out a quote or two for Ambrose to give you a feel for that. On this day in 2008, Edmund Hillary died.
Oh.
New Zealander, who first to scale Mount Everest with Tenzing Norgay, died at the age of 88. And then he decided he wanted to climb every mountain. Well, no, he didn't. But here's someone who did.
Okay.
Yes. Bit by bit by bit.
Climb every mountain, search high and low, follow every byway, every path you know. Climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow dream that will need all the love you can give. Every day of your life, for as long as you live, climb every mountain, ford every stream, I
Council for us there.
Wow.
Playing, the Abbess, the Big Cheese.
Yes.
In the Sound of Music.
Abbess, yes.
Looking at this, the LP, and it came.
Yes.
Still got the sticker on it, actually. This came was bought from club catalog number. Okay, never mind. Came with a little booklet. Picture of Julie Andrews nice. There and Christopher Plummer looking ferocious on the cover. And a nice little write-up on Rodgers and Hammerstein. Tribute to a Partnership by Judith Crist. Did a lot of movie reviews and what have you. Fabulous Broadway era of Rodgers and Hammerstein came to a close on June the 15th, 1963, when The Sound of Music closed after 1,442 performances. What an era it had been. Peggy Wood there.
Our choir.
Yes.
Might be singing
You're
Climb
right.
Every Mountain This
You're right. Well, it's too late to ask Peggy Wood to come and join us. She died in 1978.
Oh, that's quite a while ago.
American actress of stage, film, and television. Actually best known for CBS, television series Mama, which was about 8 years, for which she was nominated for a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Lead Actress. Starring role as Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, in The Story of Ruth. Final screen appearance, Mother Abbess, Sound of Music, for which she received nominations for both an Academy Award and a Golden Globe Award. Well, she was in the movies back 1917, 18, 19, so long career, what, 50, 60 years? Yes.
Yeah.
At 6:17, just ahead of Carol going up on the roof, I was thinking about the Belfast Giants.
Yes. How are they doing?
Well, they just beat the Nottingham Panthers, as I say, last night.
Good, good.
And they've got another game coming up because I was reminded when we went to the game.
Yes.
It started with music.
Yes, it did.
And none of your national anthems. Well, you could call this a national anthem, I suppose. Good march to that. Van Morrison with the Chieftains from the CD Irish Heartbeat. At 6:20, Carol McKibben, if you'll stand on your chair.
Just let me get my jacket here.
It's pretty nice out there, all things considered. And put just above your head there if you push the little cupboard door open. We're looking for ancient radio waves. Travel through the ether and beyond. And then you're shared with us once again. Come in, ancient radio waves.
No man in public life was ever more human than Sir John. Known as Old Man Tomorrow, he was the first Canadian to say, "I am a Canadian." We remember him today as the man who put this great country together. A man who was able to bring together jarring elements and achieve agreement. How he was able to achieve this was in large measure due to his incredible ability to temper truth with humor and to use wit for the maintenance of a sense of proportion. A soft answer, it has been said, turneth away wrath. In MacDonald's case, a humorous one sometimes increased it, but in any event, reduced the argument to reasonable proportions. So what I'm going to do is to tell you some stories about Sir John, to show you how human Old Tomorrow was. I recall one incident that one of his cabinet ministers, D'Arcy McGee, difficulties had arisen. McGee began to drink. Sir John said to him, "I have no objection to anything that my cabinet does under ordinary circumstances, but I want to point out that there is no room in my cabinet for two drunks." Everyone who's been Prime Minister of Canada has had the experience. Whenever a senator becomes ill or is reported in the press, immediately letters are received. You can be sure of them the next day. They generally read something like this: "I'm deeply concerned over the fact that Senator A is ill. I do hope he'll recover. But if in God's grace he does not, I would be prepared to accept an appointment so that Canada may be able to continue, even in a larger field, to have the benefit of my service and experience." MacDonald used to attend all the funerals of members of Parliament or senators. He liked funerals, providing he was fortified to enjoy them. He attended a funeral of a senator, and one of these self-appointed, expectant, and hopefuls got up close to him, and as the casket was lowered beneath the soil, the man said, "Sir John, I'd like to take his place." Sir John said, "I can't hear you. What did you say?" He said, "I'd like to take his place, Sir John." John replied, "My friend, I think it's a little late now."
Ancient radio waves. In this case, the Right Honorable John Diefenbaker. Reminiscing about John A. MacDonald, whose birthday it is today. John A., born on this day in 1815, died in 1891. Our first Prime Minister. Always his reputation taking a knock and a bash, but I think we're going to see him resurrected.
Oh.
See some letters on the... And if you read Richard Gwynne's biographies, and there's a new book out from the Mackenzie Laurier... MacDonald Laurier. I've lost that. It's off my calendar pad here. About Sir John A. in the year 1885. What a year it was when you look at a couple of years we've had in politics. Yeah, compare that to what Sir John A. went through.
True.
So I think we'll see his reputation. What does Shakespeare say? "The evil men do live after them. The good is often interred with their bones at 625. I did mention Ambrose Bierce.
Yes.
Who disappeared, I would say. I don't know if he died for sure on this day in 1914. We know him best for the Devil's Dictionary, an occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, of course. Here he is on accuracy. "A certain uninteresting quality carefully excluded from human statements." Or achievement, noun, "the death of endeavor and the birth of disgust." Doesn't last long, is what he's suggesting then. Well, let's turn for advice. Something a little lighter, perhaps, from Dear Mary, the pages of the Spectator magazine from 23rd of February, 2008. A question for Mary, then. Question. Is there a tactful way of finding out who else is going to a house party before accepting? I know it is bad manners to ask, but my problem is that, as a single man in my late 30s, I very often am asked, and regularly, by people I don't know that well. On arrival, it becomes clear that I have been set up with some single woman who's just not my type, or, worse, she is my type, but I'm not hers. I cannot stand these social booby traps any more, and would just like to know how the land lies before I accept. I know this makes me sound arrogant, so I'm withholding my name and address. Name and address withheld. Mary says...
Yes?
Say, what a coincidence! I met someone else this week who's talking about you and saying they were coming to stay too. Now, who was it? I must be going mad. Oh, it's driving me mad. Then stay silent while your host runs through the list. In this way, you can at least be psychologically prepared for what romantic possibilities may await you in the house party. We never get invited to house parties. I don't know why.
It's probably a very good reason for it.
But I think that's still true to this day. If you're a single man, you want to fellow at the table, don't you know?
Yes, yes.
Looking at the Turner Classic Movie Channel for today, then, those of you up and familiar with Turner Classic Movie, 11 a.m. this morning, Footlight Parade from 1933. There'd be some old faces there. 1 o'clock, Jeopardy, not that Jeopardy, from 1953, directed by John Sturges. Barbara Stanwyck, Barry Sullivan, woman tries to save her trapped husband. He gets his leg under a rock, the old classic, The Water's Rising. I saw that. Barbara Stanwyck, 1953. Always worth watching, Barbara Stanwyck. 7 o'clock tonight, Born Yesterday, directed by George Cukor. Judy Holliday,
yes.
Bradford Crawford, William Holden, Can't Go Wrong.
Brilliant.
But yeah, it's Judy Holliday. And much better, I thought.
She played the role on Broadway.
Yeah. She's very good in that. In Broadway, Grover.
Yes.
Used to do a TV show. Remember, leave your blood in the blood bank, not on the highway. Yeah, I think he did a show called Highway Patrol.
That's good.
Yes. Sunday.
Yes.
2:30 a.m., Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. Directed by Sam Peckinpah, so boom, boom, bang.
I've never seen it, but I'm not getting up at 2 in the morning.
No, well, we count on you to set the timer and the gizmo.
I see. Okay.
James Coburn, Chris Christopherson, Bob Dylan.
Oh.
2:30, Sunday a.m. 6 a.m. and then 7:30, a couple of Marx Brothers movies. The Big Store and then Room Service. 10 a.m., tomorrow, The Red Shoes. Who wants to be a ballet dancer, eh? 1948, Moira Shearer.
Yeah.
Oh, the madness. 7 o'clock, Sunday night.
Yes.
The Magnificent Seven. 1960, directed by John Sturges, Yul Brynner, Eli Wallach, Steve McQueen. Thank you. Thank you, Elmer Bernstein, with the music.
Wow.
Calgary Youth Orchestra from their CD, The Thrill of the Western. Once again, Magnificent Seven, Sunday night, 7 o'clock on the Turner Classic Movie Channel, directed by John Sturges. At 6:33, I have a couple of big boxes of soundtrack from movies and some LPs in the basement where we go and lift the liner notes as well, of course, for the early 30s. Like, but this crossed my mind. I hadn't seen this for a while. This is music from the original soundtrack to the Civil War that Mr. Burns did, filmed by Ken Burns. And it has quite a range of material on it. Well, we'll play you a sample.
We have shared the incommunicable experience of war. We have felt, we still feel, the passion of life to its top. In our youths, our hearts were touched with fire. Oliver Wendell Holmes.
Soundtrack to the Civil War, the Ken Burns series. We heard Ashokan Farewell, by Jay Unger. Jay Unger, Matt Glaser, Evan Stover with fiddles and viola, and Russ Barenberg on guitars, and Molly Mason on bass.
That was quite nice.
And there's a quote here from Abraham Lincoln, the then and the now of it. At what point shall we expect the approach of danger? By what means shall we fortify against it? Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow? Never. All the armies of Europe, Asia, and Africa combined, with all the treasure of the earth, could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a track on the Blue Ridge in a trial of 1,000 years. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide. Abraham Lincoln. We'll put you back in the box, Abraham. Thank you. At 6:38, Carol McKibben.
Yes.
Who are we? Where are we? Don't tell me.
I'm Nala Ayed, author of 1,000 Farewells, and you're listening to CKUW-FM.
Michael Dalla.
She's now the host of Ideas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We knew her when.
Yes.
Jumble for you from the Free Press?
Sure. Are you ready? How much coffee have you had?
Not enough. And my uvula is swollen. I'm carrying on.
Okay. Yep. I'm sure you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
T-U-M-H-O.
Mouth.
Yes.
Speak.
See?
Yes. 6:39, then, okay. As we turn to Jan Morris and the World of Venice with a new foreword by the author. Now, a lot of travel books, gone. But Jan Morris.
Yes.
A.K.A. James Morris. I've told that story before.
Right.
Reissued, then. One of the most diverse and diverting books ever written about Venice. Wholly absorbing, quickened by vivid prose and astringent humor, said the Times. Well, there's a foreword, because this is the third revised edition of a book which I originally wrote in the persona of James Morris. It is not a history book, but it necessarily contains many pages of history. These I have used magpie style, embedding them in the text, where they seem to me to glitter most effectively. But for those who prefer their history in chronological order, at the back of the book there's a historical index. It's not exactly a guidebook, not exactly a report. When I wrote it in 1960, I thought it was. I was a foreign correspondent then, and I planned this book as a dispatch about contemporary Venice. When I began to prepare its first new edition some 10 years later, I thought I could simply bring the whole thing up to date as a newspaper editor reshuffles a page. However, as I wandered the canals and alleys with my own book in my hand, I was quickly disillusioned. I soon came to realize that it was not that kind of book at all, and could not be modernized, as I had supposed, with a few deft strokes of the felt-tipped pen. In the edition of 1974 and its successor of 1983, I changed the details of the book, but hardly touched the generalities, for it turns out to be nothing like the objective report that I had originally conceived. It is a highly subjective, romantic, impressionistic picture, less of a city than of an experience. It is Venice, seen through a particular pair of eyes at a particular moment. Young eyes, at that, responsive above all to the stimuli of youth. It possesses the particular sense of well-being that comes, if I may be immodest, when author and subject are perfectly matched. On the one side, in this case, the loveliest city in the world, only asking to be admired. On the other, a writer of the full powers of young maturity, strong in physique, eager in passion, scarcely a care or worry in the world. Whatever the faults of the book, and I do acknowledge 2 or 3, nobody could deny its happiness. It breathes the spirit of delight. Palestrina. I go with your Venice. No, we didn't ride in a gondola. I was too cheap. At 6:43, excuse me, just ahead of perhaps a smile.
Did you go to Murano?
No, for the glass.
Yes.
Didn't you just finish reading a book on it?
Yes, The Glassmaker.
And?
Well,
weird.
It's put together in sort of, an unusual way is best. It starts with describing when you skip a stone across the water, and it drops in certain, and so the story drops in certain centuries, but you keep the same characters. So you follow the same character through as if that was their life, but it starts in the Renaissance and ends up in the 1900s, if not the 2000s. Yes.
So recommended?
Yeah, it's still a good read. It's Tracy Chevalier, so.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. Were you on a waiting list for it, or just?
I was on a bit of a waiting list.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
So it wouldn't surprise me. They have several copies, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's still a waiting list for it.
6:44.
Yep.
I was in Into the Music the other day, and you can pick up the Stylus magazine at the front door there on a good day. And that's our magazine 2 months ago for reviews, news and interviews, as well as a full page that lists the entire scheduling for CKUW-FM 95.9 on your FM dial. And so they were giving away things at the front door.
What?
I guess they had so much stuff, couldn't sell it. So I reached in and pulled out Mrs. Prothero and the Fireman.
Yeah.
No, that's still in Thomas, I'm sorry. What I did find was the songs and music of Stu Davis, an LP. Trail Ridin' Troubadour. I'm pretty sure, not this copy, but we had this in the CBC Record Library and it disappeared. I remember thinking, will anybody know what's happened to this? Because it comes with the liner notes.
Oh.
And so you'd have to know a bit more. So we're talking Boggy Creek, 1921. Scottish immigrant Alex Stewart and his wife Magdalena, charge of the farm, and they have a son called David Stewart. Well, David Stewart and Stu Davis are the same, you see.
Oh, I see.
Mark the beginning of the story. Stu Davis in a tiny spot called Boggy Creek, Saskatchewan. Well, there's quite a long list here of his TV credits. National Barn Dance, Grand Ole Opry, Holiday Ranch, Hank Snow Special. He originated many of his own TV series, including Trail Riding Troubadour, Red River Jamboree, I remember that, Rope Around the Sun, Swing Your Partner, and, of course, The Stu Davis Show. Well, he did radio, too. I mean, we don't ignore the senior service, after all. National Green Barn Dance, Red River Barn Dance, Prairie Trail, Stu Davis Blue Ribbon, and the GWG series. GWG. Aha,
mm-hmm.
I still have my blue jean jacket.
Somebody offered
you
big money for it.
They did, and I turned it down. Well, then let's have a little. Stu, and I think this must be with his son, too. My special book of memories featuring Dwayne Davis. Yes, it's Back to the Land of the LP.
Okay.
The brisk winds of autumn blow chilly and cold. My heart turns to blue as the leaves turn to gold. My summertime dreams drift away with the wind. So I'll close my book of memories till summer comes again. In my special book of memories, tucked away in the nook of my mind, each sweet souvenir will be till the end of time.
tender moment you told me you cared. But just like the seasons, your love changes too. Now all that I can cling to are memories of you. In my special book of memories, tucked away in the nook of my mind, each sweet souvenir will be with me till the end, till
the Sons of the Pioneers, sir.
Yeah, it did sound like them.
The songs and music of Sue Davis for the LP. Trail Riding Troubadour. We have it. We'll be playing it as the years go by. Rescued from obscurity, Carol.
Okay.
Was at the front door to be turfed. I reached out my hand and said,
okay,
I can find a home for you at 6:49.
Yes.
Would you like a laugh? Well, Stanley Holloway... All in favor? Who remembers The Lion and Albert?
Oh, yes.
Yes, but did you know there was a sequel?
I did know.
Okay. Well, you're going to know again.
Okay. It'll be good.
You've heard our young Albert Ramsbottom in the zoo up at Blackpool one year, with a stick with an horse's head handle, gave a lion a poke in the ear. The name of the lion was Wallace. The poke in the ear made him wild. And before you could say, Bob's your uncle, he'd up and he'd swallowed the child. He was sorry the moment he'd done it. With children he'd always been chums. And besides, he'd no teeth in his noddle, and he couldn't chew Albert on gums. He could feel the lad moving inside him as he lay on his bed of dried ferns, and it might have been little lad's birthday he wished him such happy returns. But Albert kept kicking and fighting till Wallace arose feeling bad, and felt it were time that he started to stage a comeback for the lad. So with his head down in a corner, on his front paws he started to walk, and he coughed and he sneezed and he gargled till Albert shot out like a cork. Old Wallace felt better directly, and his figure once more became lean. But the only difference with Albert was his face and his hands were quite clean. Meanwhile, Mr. and Mrs. Ramsbottom had gone home to their tea feeling blue. Ma says, I feel down in the mouth like. Pa says, aye, I bet Albert does too. Said Ma, it just goes for to show you that the future is never revealed. If I thought we was going to lose him, I'd have not had his boots sold and healed. Let's look on the bright side, said Father. What can't be helped must be endured. Every cloud has a silvery lining, and we did have young Albert insured. A knock at the door came that moment, as Father these kind words did speak. 'Twas the man from Prudential. He called for their tuppence per person per week. When Father saw who had been knocking, he laughed and he kept laughing so that the young man said, what's there to laugh at? Pa says, you're laughing all when you know. Excuse him for laughing, said Mother, but really things happen so strange. Our Albert's been et by a lion. You've got to pay us for a change, said the young fella from the Prudential. Now come, let's understand this. You don't mean to say that you've lost him? Ma says, oh no, we know where he is. When the young man had heard all the details, a bag from his pocket he drew, and he paid them with interest and bonus, the sum of £9.42. Pa had scarce got his hand on the money when a face at the window they see, and mother says, "Eee, look, it's Albert." And father says, "Aye, it would be." Young Albert came in all excited and started his story to give, and Pa says, "I'll never trust lions again, not as long as I live." The young fella from the Prudential to pick up the money began, and father says, "Hey, just a moment, don't be in a hurry, young man." Then giving young Albert a shilling, he said, "Pop off back to the zoo. Here's your stick with the horse's head handle. Go and see what the tigers can do."
Stanley Holloway.
Very bad.
From the CD, The Lion and Albert, with a great variety of monologues on it as well. Sam drummed out, "Sam, pick up that musket," etc., etc. Marksman Sam. At 6:54, we went to see Waitress. We're going to talk about it in the next half hour. Well, in our last half hour, we'll have a song to go with it as well.
Okay.
4 out of 5 stars. Today's Winnipeg Free Press. Ben Waldman liked it. And I get weekly emails, Carol, from Stratford saying, "Why did you come back? Why don't you come back?
Ooh.
Why don't you come back?" And in fact, funny, one of the big stars that we saw on the Stratford stage is Ian, Waitress.
That's
just occurred
right.
to me as well.
Yes. Yes.
And so, musicals, you can't go wrong. To give us a smile these days, and so you get your nostalgia, and you get wait a minute, that's got Bob Martin written all over it.
Hello, how are we today? A little quiet? I'm feeling a little blue myself. You know, a little anxious for no particular reason. A little sad that I should feel anxious at this age. You know, a little self-conscious anxiety resulting in non-specific sadness. A state that I call blue. Anyway, whenever I'm feeling this way, blue, I like to listen to my music. So I was going through my box of records this morning. Yes, records. And what did I find but one of my favorite shows, Gable and Stein's The Drowsy Chaperone. Remember? Music by Julie Gable, lyrics by Sidney Stein. Let me read to you what it says on the back of the album. It says, "Mix-ups, mayhem, and a gay wedding." Well, of course, the phrase gay wedding has a different meaning now, but back then it just meant fun. And that's just what this show is. Fun. Now, let's visualize. Imagine, if you will, it's November 1928. You've just arrived at the doors of the Verosco Theater in New York. It's very cold, and a heavy gray sleet is falling from the sky, but you don't care, because you're going to see a Broadway show. Listen.
My dress, my fancy dress. I don't know why I'm wearing it, I must confess. My dress, I love my dress. Would someone tell me why I put it on?
Yes, yes, your dress, your fancy dress. 'Twas such a pleasure airing it, restitching and repairing it. God bless your dress, it's one fine dress. And I will tell you why you put it on. Wedding bells will ring, wedding bells will chime. Madam, you're the hostess and it's happy wedding time. Wedding bells will ding, wedding bells will dong. Wedding bells will ding-a-ling and we will ding along.
Your dress, your fancy dress. We're very, very glad you put it on.
Wedding guests have come.
Wedding guests are here.
Wedding guests are at the door and soon they will appear.
I'm Robert, the bridegroom. I'm here to marry Janet, that star of Felt Six Follies, whom I love a lot.
I'm George, that's George, his best man, George. I'm honored to be doing what a best man ought. Ah, Mrs. Tottendale, now don't worry, this whole wedding's gonna run like clockwork.
Oh, is there going to be a wedding?
I'm Felchick, producer. I lost my leading lady. I gotta stop this wedding or I'm not worth squat.
I'm Kitty, just Kitty. I came with Mr. Felchick. I'll be a leading lady if I get my...
chefs.
We cross our hearts, we're pastry chefs. No fakery.
A bakery
is what we got.
Adolfo, Adolfo, my name it is Adolfo. I am the king of romance, so I kiss a lot.
You are the king of romance, so you kiss a lot. Wedding bells will ring, wedding bells will chime. Wedding bells will celebrate a happy wedding time. Someone hasn't come, someone isn't here. Where is Janet Vandergraaf and when will she appear?
Janet Vandergraaf, maid of honor, friend and confidant, and all that rot. Where's the bar?
A wedding, hooray!
It's prohibition, madam.
A wedding, how gay!
Good thing I brought my own.
A wedding, today!
Champagne makes me drowsy!
It's really happening, truly happening, almost happening. What is happening?
I'm Trix, the aviatrix, queen of the sky. A